Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 9. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. Coveting is the mother of all sins. Eve wanted more than God gave her, and so did not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. First commandment. Second, Jeroboam wanted to secure his power and control, and so took the Lord's name in vain, assigning it to golden calves and man-made worship. The third, King Saul usurped the divinely assigned power of the priest to use worship for his own selfish ambition. The fourth, Gehazi wanted that gold, and so disobeyed Elisha, his master. The fifth, Ahab's desire for a vineyard to lounge around in snowballed into murder. The sixth, Herod's desire led him to lead his brother's wife into adultery. The seventh, Queen Jezebel, with a show of piety, stole Naboth's vineyard because of their desires. The eighth, Absalom's vain, selfish desires led him to ruin his father's reputation. And what about us? Christmas preparations often have a whole lot of coveting involved. Like Eve and every descendant since, except one, we can think of 10 reasons why I deserve the desires of my heart, and they're never going to lead me astray. Man covets what he thinks will be the glory that lasts. Often our coveting is focused on security. Did you notice the words in our text? Setting our nest on high. Trying to find security from every lack, from every attack on our popularity, power, possessions, property, or personal health. Coveting leads people to act like animals, attacking, devouring each other. And this coveting of our heart shows the evil of our very nature, the corruption within that produces all the sins that we carry out. Verse 10 tells us that covetousness is a sin against our own soul, leading us deeper into the pit of envy, self-pity, and rebellion against the Lord. Familiar with Jeremiah 19? The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or Jesus' words in Matthew 15, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. People covet the glory they think will last. Babylon at the time of Habakkuk thought it was big, surpassing the world, and yet it coveted more. The world thought Babylon was big, suppressing the world, and yet coveted more than Babylon was offering. But the Lord exposed Babylon's character as oh so small and demonstrates that the sun was setting on them because of the long shadow they were casting. When a small nation or person is casting a long shadow, it demonstrates, yes, the sun is setting on them. God had so decreed of Babylon. And God says to us that the very things that we covet will witness against us. The electronic devices or the pools and hot tubs that we dream of in the dream castles that we build with our desires, they testify to the coveting behind them. Every Babylon building its empire might seem invincible, but it will not stand. For the Lord has decreed that no Babel shall build a tower unto heaven. There's no security in covetousness. Remember what Jesus warned? Beware of covetousness, for our life does not consist in the abundance of things that we possess. And in the same chapter, he tells us about the man who built those big barns, only to hear that night, "You fool, tonight your soul shall be required of you." So covet the advent glory that does last. Yeah, Babylon coveted the world as its kingdom, its wealth, its security. And is it that different today? Think about the horrible travesty in the souls bought by Jesus that are sold into sexual slavery or outright murdered. I trust that none of you are involved in that. But what are you coveting? We don't see the advent glory of the Lord purifying this world. And in fact, we don't even see it making our own hearts intrinsically pure, cleansed from all coveting. And that unquenched coveting is such a powerful demonstration of how desperately we need our Savior, whose very heart is clean and pure. He came to be your substitute and mine. He came so that his righteous heart could be credited to you and me. By his advent in our hearts, the Lord promises, verse 14, you are filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This verse is thus pointing out the goal of all history. The Messiah's advent came about to atone for your sins, to cover you with his righteousness, for him to arise victorious, to send out the gospel into all the world, to gather his sheep from all nations, that he might usher them with you into his eternal glory. So covet the advent glory that does last. That glory of the Lord does indeed shine throughout the world, not in the power of man, but in the gift of the Son the Father sent for you. John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Babels and the Babylons of this world still try to build a tower of man's dream and glory. Yes, people covet the glory they think will last, to fill their lives with their own glory. But take a look at Babylon's ruins and learn the lesson. 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's only in letting his advent glory shine through us that we have a treasure that lasts. Yes, covet the advent glory that does last. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 73, 7-3, stanzas 4 and 5.